somehow it didn't happen. So I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 18, which is Stephen's reading. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I've spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have the opportunity to share with you this morning. It's lovely to see some familiar faces. Great to also just share this time with you this morning. Many of you will probably remember me. My name is Stephen, for those who don't know. I'm the community pastor at Norcott Mission Church. And I've served there with a group of leaders. And part of my work is supporting the work within the church, but also it's also building links into the community surrounding Norcott Mission Church. Since the pandemic, one of our big areas of outreach has been our food pantry, and it's really exciting to hear about your plans for having the Southcote pantry here. And we really will be praying for you as you launch in this new way. Our pantry has been a great encouragement for us as a church. We are able to do it because of the support that we have from the Faith Christian Group and a number of volunteers from different churches. So that's really good that we can serve in that way. I've now been at the church 10 years. Before that, I was in the Scottish Borders, where I worked for 9 years as a pastoral assistant. And I know that over the years, as a church, you all here at Southcote Family Church, as a church, you have been a real encouragement to us at Norcott Mission Church. You have supported us in a variety of different ways, and we are so appreciative of that and the support that you have given. Many times we've had speakers at our church, and we are thankful for God for each one of those speakers and the way that you have supported us. And so that's been a real blessing to us. And so as I come myself, I come with all our greetings from Norcott Mission Church this morning. On a personal note, maybe some of you might be thinking, we haven't seen you for a while, for those who do know me. For me, on a personal note, the last 5 years have been quite challenging. And continuing my work at Norcott Mission Church, but also at the same time doing my master's in applied theology at Moorlands College, which I started 6 months before the COVID pandemic. So it's been quite a challenging few years, but I'm so thankful to God that I was able to complete in August 2023 and graduated in November later that year. So it has been a very, very busy time. And since then, along with my leadership team, we've been exploring prayerfully the way forward for the church beyond the COVID pandemic, as we face a number of challenges. But we trust that God will bring about his purposes. I know for maybe each one of us here, the last few years have been quite challenging. But it's good to know that we have a God who is working out his purposes day by day in our lives and in the life of his church. And I wonder this morning, as we look at this passage from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 18. I wonder this morning, have we ever experienced times of discouragement? Times when we maybe felt like giving up? Maybe today you're going through a time of discouragement and wonder if you can keep going. I know that in my own life there's been times when I have faced discouragement, and sometimes it's been hard to keep going. And I'm sure each one of us here has been there this morning, that we've all faced times of discouragement and wondered if we can keep going. In 2 Corinthians 4, from verses 1 to 18, the theme of this section is repeated in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1 and verse 16, where we hear these words, "We do not lose heart." There were plenty of reasons for discouragement in Paul's situation, yet the great apostle did not lose heart or give up. What was it that kept Paul from losing heart in the challenges of life? The answer, he knew what he possessed in Jesus Christ. Instead of complaining about what he did not have, Paul rejoiced in what he did have. And we know from this passage before us that we can see that Paul had three things. We see from this passage in verses 1 to 6 that Paul had a wonderful ministry. We also see in this passage from verses 7 to 12 that Paul had a valuable treasure. And thirdly, we see in this passage in verses 13 to 18 that Paul had a confident faith. So firstly, Paul and we have a wonderful ministry. From verse 1, "Therefore, since through God's mercy We have this ministry. We do not lose heart. But what kind of ministry is Paul referring to? We understand that the previous chapter, that it is a wonderful ministry that brings people life, salvation, and righteousness. A ministry that is able to transform people's lives. When Paul considered the fact that he was a minister of Jesus Christ, he was overwhelmed by the grace and mercy of God. His positive attitude towards the ministry had some practical consequences in his life. One of these practical consequences that kept him from giving up, we see in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8, that he confessed to the Corinthians that his trials in Asia had almost brought him to despair. In spite of his great gifts and vast experience, Paul was human and subject to human frailties. But how could he lose heart when he was involved in such a wonderful ministry? Would God have entrusted this ministry to him so that he might fail? Of course not. With the divine calling came the divine enabling. He knew that God would see him through. And it's wonderful to know that Christian ministry does not depend on our own strength, but on God's faithfulness towards us. My first encouragement to you this morning is that you have a wonderful ministry here at Southcote Family Church. A ministry that is able to transform people's lives. Whether it be through your ministry at Open Church each month on Tuesdays, coffee and chat on Wednesdays, your partnership with CCA, as well as the new Southcote Pantry, Good News for Everyone, OM and Yeldall Manor, your support of Sharon Nordley of Wycliffe Bible Translators, along with your connections with Manor School and your work with Southcote Alive locally. I want to say this morning that you have a wonderful ministry. And God is faithful. Isn't it so good when we consider the work that God is calling us to do, that we don't trust, that we don't need to trust in our own strength, that we can trust in the strength of God and his faithfulness towards us. You have a wonderful ministry. Secondly, as well as a wonderful ministry, Paul and we have a valuable treasure. We see this from verses 7 to 12. From verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I want to say this morning that the believer is simply a jar of clay. I'm not being rude, but the believer is simply a jar of clay. And it is the treasure that is within the vessel that gives the vessel its value. We know that the image of the vessel is a recurring one in Scripture, and from it we can learn many lessons. To begin with, God has made us the way we are so that we can do the work He wants us to do. Every single one of us is different. Each one of us here is special to God. Each one of us is a vessel that God can use, that God can work through. As you think of all that is before you here as a church and within this community, you have a part to play in serving the Lord Jesus. God said of Paul, "He is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles." And from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, we read these words: "Each of us must seek to become an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." We are vessels, clay pots, so that God might use us. We are earthen vessels that we might not depend on our own strength, but upon God's power rather than our own. And it's so important that we focus on the treasure and not on the vessel. We know that God is glorified through weak vessels. The missionary who opened inland China to the gospel, J. Hudson Taylor, used to say, "All God's giants have been weak people who did great things for God because they reckoned on Him being with them." What a quote. From 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 to 8, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." In other words, the end of our human resources does not represent the end of God's. Paul had discovered that his weakness was not only matched and more than matched by God's power, but that weakness was the best way to discover such power. It was the Dutch Christian Betsy ten Boom, in the midst of the horrors of Ravensbrück concentration camp during the Second World War, who expressed the sentiment which Paul is describing here in these verses. "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." So my second encouragement to you this morning is that we have a valuable treasure. And in our weakness, we can know God's power at work in us and through us. Particularly we think about the call that He has placed upon our lives to witness into this community for all of you here. You have a valuable treasure, and you can know His power at work in your lives and through your lives. Thirdly, as well as a wonderful ministry and a valuable treasure, like Paul, do we have a confident faith? Of what was Paul so confident? That he had nothing to fear from life or death. He had just listed some of the trials that was part of his life and ministry, and now he was affirming that his faith gave him victory. It was a hope that helped him to endure. Note the assurances that he had because of his faith. In verse 14, he was sure of ultimate victory. The joyful message of the early church was a victory of Christ over death. And we need to return to that victorious emphasis. In verse 15, he was sure that God would be glorified. This verse parallels Romans 8 and verse 28 and gives us the assurance that our sufferings are not wasted. God uses them to minister to others and to bring glory to his name. You might ask, how is God glorified in our trials? We know that he is glorified by giving us the abundant grace we need to maintain joy and strength when the going gets difficult. We are reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 that God is able to bless us abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17, Paul was sure his trials were working for him and not against him. We do not lose heart, was Paul's confident testimony. And finally, in verse 18, he was sure the invisible world was real. The great men and women of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 achieved what they did because they saw the invisible. Therefore, my third encouragement to you this morning is that we can have a confident faith. From verse 18, so we fix our eyes and not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Knowing that we have an eternal dwelling can give us the confidence to live faithfully and please the Lord, particularly in times of difficulty, challenge, and uncertainty. And I'm sure you would all agree with me here this morning that not only has the last few weeks been quite challenging, maybe uncertain, maybe difficult, but as we look back over the last few years, we have certainly gone through a very challenging time, a very difficult time, a very uncertain time. And although some might say that the COVID pandemic is over, there are many people who still feel the impact of what we experienced through those years. And as we see what's happening in the wider world with different countries, again, we are living in challenging, uncertain, and difficult times. So it's so important that we keep our focus on that heavenly, that eternal dwelling. Some people say that Christians often are too heavenly minded to be of earthly use. You might have heard that saying before. But I want to say this morning that rarely applies to the true Christian. And certainly would not be an apt description of Paul. He was constantly inspired by what lay ahead and found great strength for his day-to-day ministry from having an eternal perspective. It's never easy for Christians to hold on to this view today. We are frequently pushed into thinking that our real life is here and now, and this affects our values, ambitions, and attitudes. My challenge to myself and to all of us is to hold on to the eternal perspective, a hope that helps us to endure. That's my encouragement to you this morning. Yes, a challenge, but an encouragement as we live in these times, that we keep our focus on that eternal dwelling, and that will enable us to continue being faithful in the ministry that God has called us to. So this morning, let these encouragements just be written upon your hearts. Again, that you might know this morning that you here at Southcote Family Church, that you have a wonderful ministry. And that God is faithful to work in you and through you for all that he's calling you to do. Also know that you have a valuable treasure, and that in your weakness, God's power can be displayed. That God can work through each one of you to be a blessing to this community. And also for each one of you, that you can have a confident faith, knowing that there is that eternal dwelling for those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus, who have a relationship with him. We can have that certainty of that eternal dwelling. And the view of that and the knowledge of that will help us to keep going, to keep serving, to keep doing those things that God has called us to do, to please him. There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come. Let us pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for these encouragements that we can receive. Lord, the encouragement that we have a wonderful ministry. Also, that we have a valuable treasure, and that we can have a confident faith. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here at Southcote Family Church, Lord. And I thank you for the ministry that you have given to them in this local community. And I really pray, Lord, that they might just continue to be encouraged, that in every aspect of their ministry here, Lord, that they might continue to be encouraged that you are working through them to reach out into this community. I pray, Lord, that they might continue to know that you are faithful and that you can be trusted. Lord, may they be encouraged in their ongoing service for you. I pray too, Lord, that they might be encouraged to know, Lord, that they have a treasure within. And Lord, that in their weakness, in my weakness, Lord, that you can be our strength, that you can work in us and through us. Lord, thank you that we don't need to rely upon our own strength, but we trust in your power at work within us. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help each one of us to have a confident faith. Lord, not to be discouraged by the things that we see around us. We know, Lord, that we are living in difficult times. We know that we are living in uncertain times. We know that we are living in challenging times. But I pray, Lord, that we might have a confident faith, that our trust might be knowing, Lord, that we have that heavenly dwelling, that we can look forward to that. For those of us who know and love you, Lord Jesus. And I pray particularly for any this morning who might not know what it means to have that assurance of that heavenly dwelling, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to know you, what it means to follow you. I just pray, Lord, that they might have that courage to maybe talk with another Christian friend and explore further about what this all means. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they too might come to that place of knowing you and knowing the hope of Christ. So, Lord, I thank you again for your word to our hearts this morning. And again, I just want to thank you for Southcote Family Church, Lord. I thank you for their ministry here. And I pray, Lord, that they might just continue to trust in you and your purposes for their lives, Lord, and for their ongoing work here in Southcote, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.